Hello, friends and family. Just great to be here in this encouragement session in this beautiful nature with this beautiful mountain on this Saturday. Matthew 6. And I want to motivate you to keep on reading scripture, to keep on getting into the word. There's actually so many sermons one can preach just out of this one chapter. So I've decided to highlight one or two things that really stood out for me. It's very, very important that we realize again the background. It was written to Jews. And one of the things that Matthew tries to highlight so many times is the prophecies. And so the amazing thing is when you look at the Old Testament, you can really understand more of what Christ came to do and what he came to stand for. Because there are a lot of shadows and types and things to come that would point to what Jesus would actually come to do at the cross. So it's actually amazing some of the stuff he does, you know, and some of the things Jesus said. And that's why in Matthew 6, probably the most well-known thing is the model prayer, the Our Father prayer. We could spend hours just on these five verses here from verse 9. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven. Just that first line, Our Father. Not my father, not your father. It's not an individual thing. You know, the Jews read the Bible together in community. And we're actually supposed to do the same. Not just read it on our own and it's just my walk with God and your walk with God. It's simply, it's a community thing. It's a different gifting things. And that's what's so beautiful about the way we approach God. Our Father, the Father of Abraham. You know the promise he gave to Abraham, so many nations, so many in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when you come to God, don't just come as an individual. Remember, you are a priest. And that's what 1 Peter says, you know. We are a holy priesthood, a royal nation. Meaning that what was a priest? A priest was somebody that would come to God and he had all these tablets, these stones on his breast of the 12 tribes. Representing the tribes to God. You know, a priest is a bridge builder, somebody that goes to God, that represents the people to God, and then goes from God, that represents God to the people. Never go to the people before you've been with God, because don't talk on behalf of God if you've not been with God. And so what we do is when we approach God, it's a father, it's a family affair. And more than ever in this lockdown time, we are aware of the family that we belong to. I'm so proud of the church, of just being the church, not just going to an event on a Sunday, but people connecting. And this one lady said to me in this week, she said, hey, we're connecting more on Zoom than ever. There's so many people joining our small group that wasn't there before, because normally just 30% would come, or 40%. Now everyone is there because we realize the value of our Father, a family. And then what he does, Jesus tells us, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we approach God, and this is just something that's really important for me, and I trust it will be for you as well, always come to worship. Always come to give thanks. Don't come with your list of stuff. Because if you take the list of stuff and you put it in front of God, then the list becomes the issue. God is not the center. You know, somebody asked me once, why do we worship before we start the sermon and the service? I said, hey, so that we can get a God focus. Because if you focus on yourself or your circumstances all the time, do you know what? Then you're going to lose the plot. You're going to lose the goodness of God. The circumstance is going to, hey, it's going to bog you down. So when we come to God, come to God with thanksgiving. Come to him with a new song. Come to him and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. We have to align ourselves with who God is and what God says. And that's why it's so important in prayer. Don't just ask. Don't just go through a list of stuff. Ask him. Ask him and worship him. But first, see how big God is, you know? Then he goes on, give us this day our daily bread. So ask him then. Ask if you have a need, ask him that need. Forgive us. Hey, issue of the heart. Physical stuff, emotional stuff, spiritual stuff. Sort your heart out. Have your heart soft. Forgive us our debts and forgive us our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And so then what begins to happen in this chapter is there's a lot of principles. And it's so important that when we read scripture, that we read scripture to know God, not to know about God, but actually to know the heart of God. And I love this last part, this whole last part. Now remember, there wasn't specific little headings when scripture was written. Later on it was put in. So it's actually just one big story, because it talks about laying up treasures in heaven, the lamp of your body, don't serve God and riches. And then he talks about do not worry. You know, worrying is actually a sin. Because what happens when you worry is you give into your fears and you allow your circumstances to be your Lord. You allow the outcome of what you see around you. And we know the scripture, and this is probably the most important for me in anything I do, is I say, Lord, if I have to make a big decision, how is your kingdom going to come? Because listen to this, verse 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So God knows. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day, is its own trouble. So what do we seek? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom, his righteousness, his position, your identity in Christ. You have to seek both of them together. If you just seek the kingdom, you can become a fanatic because you want to go and do a lot of stuff. You can't seek the kingdom without seeking also the righteousness, being in the right relationship before God. And that says worry is going to take you out of the kingdom. It's going to make you focus on other things, the world, and on your own righteousness, trying to solve your own problems, trying to do your own thing. So worry connects or disconnects you from the kingdom and righteousness in Christ. So I want to encourage you, but challenge you. Begin to pray and say, Lord, in this COVID, in this situation, how can your kingdom come? How can my righteousness, your righteousness, be increased in my life so that I have a greater understanding of who I am in Christ, what you've called me to do? But do not worry. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Do not worry. Because worry kills us. Anxiety kills us. Be anxious for nothing, scripture says. Now, I want to encourage you, but it is difficult. It's difficult when you just look to the natural, when you look to stuff around you, and you're trapped in the natural. But there is an answer. That's why we can pray. That's why we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. That's why he writes all this stuff, the lamp of the body, how you see, how you look at things, yeah? Say no to the things of the world. And so many times, you know, I've heard testimonies of God's provision, even multiplying food. Isn't it amazing? You know, we heard this testimony. I want to end with that. When we went to Indonesia in the Indonesian revival, the communion was very, very important to the church. But they didn't have anything. They didn't have grape juice or wine or anything. And so they were going to this big place on the mountain with the donkeys and the bottles of water. And they were praying, say, Lord, please give us communion. But they had nothing. And they were very poor. And they said, while the bottles of water, as they're walking up the mountain, they started to smell wine and grape juice. And then what was amazing, the water, all the water in all the canisters that they were carrying turned into wine. But the key was they worshipped God as they were going up. They weren't asking, oh Lord, please, please. They just worshipped God. They said, God, thank you for your provision. Hey, isn't it so with that donkey? You know, there was a donkey already there when the disciple came and said, hey, you know, the Lord has need of them. That donkey has never been ridden. It's been prepared for years before the time, for the moment when Jesus would come into Jerusalem. So God has also got a donkey for you. God has got provision for you. Don't worry. So I want to pray for you that God will just rid us from fear in this time, and that we'll begin to pray the Our Father prayer from our hearts. So Father, thank you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name today. Let your kingdom come. First, let your righteousness be established in our heart, here on earth as it is in heaven. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So go and pray that Our Father prayer. Go make it your own. Put it on your wall. And just say, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to live in that realm that you have created for me. And let's deny the worrying.